Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again, amen. And we hope and pray that all things be done in decency and order as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Good to have Brother Rodney Hampton with us today. I'm sorry, Brother Hampton. I just now remember Rodney. I've been calling you Brother Hampton to the left. And sitting down there, I remember your name, Rodney. Someone said, well, you should have asked him what his name were. But good to have you with us today as we worship God in spirit and in truth. All right, let's go ahead and begin. We're talking about what is acceptable worship. Got a handout for you again today. So brother passed those out. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And by the way, if you are listening to us today, we have our webpage. If you like to have a handout of any things that have been taught here, just hit the contact button and let us know that you like to have the handout on music or handout on the Lord's Supper or any of the handouts that we talk about in our worship here. And we either can email them to you as an attachment, or we can mail them to you if you would give us your address, and we could mail those to you as you study together with the our web page there. All right. But we began to do a series of lessons on last Sunday, what is worship? John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, and gave you the Greek word. It simply means that we want to reverence and adore him through our worship, because he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the head of the church, Ephesians 1:22-23. We do not want to be caught up in vain worship, ignorant worship, or weird worship, but our goal is to have true worship. That is, to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. On last week, we talked about music in relationship to how we sing in the church, and I'm going to slow it down a little bit because I want you to see. So your mindset, readiness of mind in relationship to what we're talking about. That is, that we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19, through teaching and admonishing one another, Colossians 3:16, as well as singing with the spirit and singing with the understanding, 1 Corinthians 14:15, and James 5:13, it would give us joy. Why would it give us joy? Because we're doing the way the Bible tells us to do it, amen. And I think if more people understood those four scriptures, that is Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 14:15, James 5:14, it would wipe out everything else in relationship to how we do it. There would be no group singing. There will be no humming, there will be no basing that's becoming a part of the church today, but we all be doing it in spirit and in truth. Because if we're not interested in the vain worship, ignorant worship, or weird worship, but what we're doing, we're interested in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So I hope that you understand that as we start point two, that is the Lord's Supper in relationship to how we worship. So I hope that each of you have gotten a handout, and let's go ahead and begin our study today on worship, the Lord's Supper. All right, hope you got your Bibles, because you'll need your Bibles today in relationship to worship today. All right, let's go ahead and begin. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew 26. That's where we're going to begin. Matthew 26. Now, let's begin. The question that we need to ask today is, what is acceptable worship in relationship to God is a spirit, and they that worship him Oh, you can see. Oh. You know, I told you now. I know where everybody is. All right, I learned the new word, scanning. And when I scan you to be here and you're not here, I got to rescan. All right, but let's go ahead and begin. What is acceptable worship in relation to God's spirit? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Here we go again. The whole concept is, see, you got to understand what this day is. This is the Lord's day, amen. That is when the whole church come together in one place, we come for a reason. See, we come for a reason, that is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in doing so, we do these five items of worship. We sing, partake of the Lord's Supper, we give, by laying stores, we prosper, we pray, and we preach through studying God's word in relationship to that concept. And you're going to see the importance of when you see the study together today, why God put it this way through the manifold wisdom of God, all the importance. See, this is what your mindset got to be transformed to think and believe, that when we come together as one, the whole church in one place, we come for a purpose, amen. And there's nothing more important that you can supersede or put over this day, the Lord's day, because we come with a purpose of mind. For example, we sing. You see those four scriptures that I gave you about singing, that when we sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, and when we do so, we teach and admonish one another. And through that teaching and admonishing, because we got understanding, because we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, what we do? We bring joy. Aren't you happy this morning? Amen. Don't you have joy this morning? Amen. Because we've done it in spirit and in truth. Amen. Well, see, it is so good that when the whole church come together with that mindset, with that purpose to do all five items of worship in one place at one specified time, not when your self-will want to come, but based on the authority of the word of God, then, brethren, that's worshiping in spirit and in truth. That word spirit means your attitude. See, how you perceive, what your mindset may be in relationship to this day, the Lord's day, in relationship to being able to worship in God in spirit and in truth. When the whole church come together in one place, that is upon the first day of the week, we come together to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. You need to take time and mark 1 Corinthians 11. You need to mark that. You need to know that, because that's a biblical example of what the early church did. Now, you say you apostolic doctrine. Well, let's do as the apostles did, amen, because they were confirmed by the authority of God's word, amen. You remember those scriptures, John 14, 26? 15:26, 16:13, amen. The promise of Matthew 3:11, that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that comforter, that spirit of truth, they received it, amen. Acts chapter 1, amen. To Acts 13, First Corinthians 13, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect and that was purpose to come, that was the part shall be done away with in relation to James 1:25. Now, brother, what we got? We got the perfect law of liberty. Amen. See, we have that. See, and because we have that, brother, you can't add to not take away from God's word. And this is what you got to see. If worship going to be done in spirit and in truth. So you need to take time and annotate that in your Bible, mark that in your Bible, if you're going to be able to, number one, be able to do all five items of worship. And worship going to have some meaning to you. Because, brethren, if it's vain worship, if it's ignorant worship, if it's unknown worship, that is, if it's real worship, brother, it's not done in spirit and in truth. It made no difference how many people come. It made no difference how much money you take up. It made no difference how many ministries you have, how big the building is. God don't look at it that way. God look at it whether you obey me or whether you disobey me. Whether you're using my authority or whether you're not using my authority. So this is very important that you understand that. And that's the reason why we're doing this lesson here in relationship to being able to worship God in spirit and in truth. So let's go ahead and look at the Lord's Supper, if we may. All right, you had the book of Acts, Matthew chapter 26. That is, we call that the first day of preparation for Passover. Now open your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 12. And I want to just take time and read to you here. Because see, that day of unleavened bread was a day of preparation. And as they prepared for the feast of Passover, and it just didn't happen like this here. And that's the way worship should be, amen. Worship should be preparation, amen. You just don't pop up on the Lord day and say, I guess I'm going to go. Well, I might go or whatever it may be. You got to understand that this is an antitype of the old from the new in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Because you remember, look at this sheet here. See, look at here. Here we go. You got the patriarchal age, you got the Mosaic age, and you got the grace of truth. Amen. This here, Jesus is coming. Jesus has come, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the next 21, amen, plus one, that is the epistles from the book of Revelation, Jesus is coming back again. We in the church, amen. So we use that phrase, an antitype between the old and the new. This is what you should need to understand in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, let's go back to the book of Exodus. Now let's read. And I just want to read to you. I want us to read together Exodus 12, verse 1 through 14, so you can see the language that the Holy Spirit is using here and tie it back up to Matthew 26 as an antitype. That is, a lamb had to be slain. A lamb had to die. See, in relationship to that word memorial, and that's the word you're going to see here in relationship to what we do or what we have done when we celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And brother, it got to be done by authority. Amen. Amen. It got to be done by authority. So let's begin reading Exodus chapter 12. And I want to read with you verses 1 through about verse 14. Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Exodus 12 and verse number 1. It says here, now the Lord spoke to Moses. Well, why did he speak to Moses, brethren? Because it was during the Mosaic age. Amen. Amen. And Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of the months, and it shall be the first months of the year to you. Look what he says, verse number 3. Speak to you all the congregation of Israel, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Underline that word, a lamb. Underline that word, a lamb. See, and we're going to see that in a minute. According to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. All right? And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor take to his house, take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be, look where it says here, underline that here, without blemish. See, a lamb, that your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly, watch it now. You see what the Holy Spirit is directing us, Brother Hampton? He didn't say half of the congregation, did he? He said the whole congregation. See, that's the reason why when we worship God in spirit and in truth, when the whole church come together in one place, amen, because we come together for what? A purpose. Right. Same way they came together for a purpose, amen. You see what I'm saying? In relationship to being able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm going to slow it down. This is what I want you to do. Listen to me. By verse 6, all right? Well, you see that word, then the whole assembly of the congregation. Read in your Bible, underline that. And when you write 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 18, All right? And then you got the rest of them mocked. Because, see, this is an antitype, as an example of what they did in the old, as to what we do in the new. It was important under the Mosaic age. It's important under grace and truth. Amen. As an example of what they did in relationship to doing God's will. Because, brethren, they can add to, not take away. Amen. They had to do it exactly the way God gave them instruction to do it. Amen. And it was good enough for them. Brother, it ought to be good enough for me and you. Amen. 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 See, the whole congregation, assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Amen. Verse 7, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire, with unleavened bread, amen, and with bitter herb they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, not boil it all with water, but roast in fire, its head with its leg and its entrails. Amen. But drop it down verse 12 for time's sake. He said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the first man in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses which you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass, underline that, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. But verse 14, this is what I want you to see. He says, so this day shall be to you a, what? A memorial. Amen. See, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is a memorial, amen, as a commemoration how God passed over Israel when they did what God told them to do by killing the lamb. That innocent lamb had to die without spot and without blood, and when they put on the side post and the top post at midnight, when the death angel came over and saw the blood, they were spared. Amen. So when we come together on the first day of the week, when the whole church come together on the first day of the week, we come because we prepare, same way they did with unleavened bread, that is, utilizing that lamb who is Jesus Christ, amen, who was without spot and without blemish in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. Now, go with me to 1 Peter 1:19, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about for time's sake. 1 Peter 1:19, a lamb had to be used, had to be without spot, and it had to be a spot in our blemish. Also, there was that day of unleavened bread, that is, that they had to prepare in preparation for this day. Same way, brother, I hope when you came here this morning, you examined yourself, amen, and you prepared to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, amen, because you don't want vain worship, amen. You don't want ignorant worship, do you? You don't want weird worship, do you? You don't want unknown worship. You want to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, but you got to do it the way God tells us to do it. Amen. Amen. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 9. He says here, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, if you're there at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, just tie that back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, 6, and 7. Amen. Because what that is, that's an antitype between the old and the new. In the Old Testament, a lamb had to die, right? An innocent lamb had to die, am I right? That is, he had to die. Had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. In relationship to Jesus Christ, had to be that Lamb of God, that is, who came to take away the sins of the world. So it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot, blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you and me. Amen. See, that's the reason why we celebrate this memorial. Amen. So what do we celebrate? We celebrate Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. We celebrate Jesus being that Lamb of God. Amen. And because we have came in contact with the blood of Jesus, we are passed over just the way Israel passed over. Amen. And that's enough to make you say amen. In relationship to understand what is the will of the Lord, in relationship to understanding God's will. So let me tell you one more time. This is what you got to see. Because see, if you sit up there fidgeting, going through your bill folder, your mindset is not on that memorial, that proclamation, that communion that we're going to talk about in relationship to what is the Lord's Supper, amen, that if you don't really understand why we do it, it's more than they just picking up the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread and passing out to you, amen. Your mindset got to reflect the word of God too. To be able to worship God in spirit and in truth in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Y'all with me? Now, let's go to Matthew 26, and I want you to see what we're talking about. All right. In Matthew 26, all right. Beginning of verse 26. I want to read with you, okay? And what I want to do is try to get you to see what's going on. It says here, all right, Matthew 26, okay? It says here, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus, he took bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat this. This is my body. Now, by Matthew 26:26, I want you to write 1 Corinthians 10:4 there. Because, see, I want to go there and show you that that body, that Lamb of God, that was without spot or without blemish, was Jesus Christ. And literally, the bread represents the body of Christ. That is why Jesus came, Luke 19:10, to seek and save that which was lost. Same way that lamb under the old represented the Passover, the blood that was shed when they did what God. Well, when we celebrate and eat of this body, eat of this bread, that bread literally represents Jesus' body. That is Jesus being the head of the church. Question. How can you take the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper is the body of Christ, and he told them, take this, eat of this, for this is my body. And when we commemorate the Lord's Supper, we do the same thing. Take this, eat of this, this is my body. Well, how can the body have some significance to you if your worship is not done in spirit and in truth? Well, or how can it have some significance to you if you're not faithful to the body? Right. If you're not faithful to the body, how can you take it and eat it when you don't respect the body? Or if you're not even a part of the body. See, you got to be a part of the body. You got to be a part of the church of Christ. You got to be a part of truth in order for the Lord's Supper to be effective. You with me? That's the reason why it must be done in spirit and in truth. Because under the old law, under Exodus 12, if they would have diverted, if they would have added to anything that God told them to do, the death angel would have got them. Amen? Because they had to do it exactly the way God told them to do it, no adding to, not taking away, if it wanted to be pleasing. And that's the same thing. Same thing with music. See, you can come up in here and not understand why you here and do it ignorantly, or unknown, or will, or do it in other way than Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, Hebrews 13:15, 1 Corinthians 14:15, James 5:13, and it will violate your being able to take this body and eat of it. Because see, the body represents that lamb that without spot and without blemish. Then John the Baptist said, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, he said, behold the Lamb of God, he's coming, right? To take away the sins of the world, amen. He knew that that lamb had to die, amen. And that's the reason why Jesus told his disciples that the first thing you need to do as we prepare to celebrate this feast. Number one, you got to take it and eat of it, for this is my body. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, and look what it says in 10:4. It says, and did all drink, now look what the Holy Spirit says, y'all, the spiritual drink. See, you can't bring carnality up in here, amen. It got to be done in spirit and in truth, amen. Am I right? See, why did the Holy Spirit use the phrase geology, spiritual drink? Because it must be done in spirit and in truth, amen. See, it must be done in spirit and truth. It must be done right. Your mindset got to be right. When he said, take, eat, this is my body, you got to know what you're eating, amen. Am I right? Now, I know some of you sisters can cook. But you bring some up in here and look hard, I'm greedy. And I don't know what's in it. Hello? See, I want to know what's in that pudding, amen. Am I right? For my own safety, amen. See, don't try nothing new on me. Say, I saw this in the magazine and I want to try it out. No, what's in it? Because my mindset got to be, there got to be something in it. Now, see, smells all right. Long they stay where snails supposed to be. Now don't put that escargot in front of me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I just don't understand how anybody want to eat something you got to catch first. Because see, when they be up in that little thing now, you got to catch them, amen. Before you can eat them. How am I going to do that? It better stand still. That's just me. Now you may have a different appetite. But see, that same point is, see, when Jesus says, he said, take this, eat, this is my body. See, that's what we got to do. He said, and did all drink the spiritual drink, for they drunk of the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, you want to reference that to Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock I will build my church, amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, amen. Give me Ephesians chapter 2:20, brother, and give me 1 Peter 2:5. And y'all need to tie all that together into what he's saying that in relationship to that rock. Because you know what? Take, eat, this is my body. Reflect what we do in the church. Amen. That was preordained by the rock. Amen. Who is Jesus Christ? That's the reason why we drink this spiritual drink. It must be done in spirit because God is a spirit. Amen. Y'all with me? But see, you got to tie it in. See, people say, well, it don't make no difference what church you go to. Oh, yes, it do. Because the way the church that we in, how we do it, determines whether that Lord's Supper going to be valid or not. Amen. Well, it is a spiritual drink, amen, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. All right, Ephesians 2:20, who got it? Yes. Yes. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone based on that foundation that was built upon the apostles, amen, and the prophets, amen, that make Jesus to be the chief cornerstone. Think about this, brethren. When you talk about what Jesus built or what the apostles built based on the apostles and the prophets' doctrine, do you see why it is so important that you understand this in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord, in relationship to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. There arose a king that did not know Joseph. That is, until grace and truth, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth the Son under the law. See, you understand this. You have to understand that everything was done, was not done by will, but was done based on God's will, because the apostles did everything by authority. Amen. Amen. But authority can't happen, brother, if you don't understand this. Oh, you don't understand this. Amen. I think 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture, amen, is given by the inspiration of God. Amen. See, just not grace and truth, but you got to understand this here. Amen. You got to understand this here and understand what you just said there. That is, that it is built on the apostolic doctrine of the apostles and prophets, amen, that caused Jesus to be the chief cornerstone, amen. That is why we can say that he is that rock, amen. That is that because of that, we take this and eat of his body. Not anybody's body, but Jesus' body. Why? Because Jesus is the head of the church, amen. What's the next one, brother?
You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. You offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
All right, everybody go right quick. 1 Peter 2:5, because I want you to see what he's saying there in relationship. Because see, I don't want you to just eat this bread. I just don't want you to get no juice. I don't want you to eat no bread. I want, when you eat it, you know what you're doing when you, he said, take this and eat of this body. Because it has such strong implications. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
That is that. That's the reason why, you know, you want to be here on Sunday. Amen. Because see, when you come here on Sunday, you know that one thing you're going to do, you're going to take this bread. Take, this is my body. And you're going to eat of it. Amen. So you're going to do that. See, when? Because the whole church is going to do it together. Amen. We're going to be strengthened by it. Amen. But see, you can't be strengthened if you don't know what you're doing. Amen. See, and I'm afraid that's what's coming with people. Not the church, but people. We're going through ritualistic. We're going through motion, but we don't have mindset. And the reason why I say that, because people substitute Sunday morning for Sunday evening. Some don't come even at all, amen. And it shouldn't be that way, because number one, this is the time when the whole church come together, amen. Not tonight, right now, amen. Because we're coming for what? Purpose. To take this. This is my body. 1 Peter 2. I got to hurry up. He says here, you also, as lively stones. See, what we're doing, we're building up a spiritual house. Amen. From Sunday school this morning, we're building up a spiritual house. Amen. Amen. We're perfected. Amen. We are maturing, amen. We are twaining, amen. No, you're not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, amen. See, what we're doing, we're not building any kind of house. We're building up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, amen, with Christ being our high priest, amen, to offer up a spiritual sacrifice. See, when you do it right, you're going to be a spiritual sacrifice, amen. Amen. How can you build a spiritual house when you got a car in the house? Well, how can it be a spiritual sacrifice? Do you hear what I just said? If your house is carnal, how can it be spiritual? Amen. You can't have both. Amen. Amen. That's the reason why when we all come together, we come together for a purpose. Amen. We're building up houses so we all can be little priests. Amen. Christ being our high priest. Amen. Am I right? Am I right? To receive that promise, amen. Am I right? See, which is eternal life, amen. Y'all with me? But see, you got to understand what he's saying when he said, take this, eat of my body. You with me? And then, look what he says here. He said, the fruit of the vine. And the second thing, go back to Matthew 26. Y'all with me? See, this is how it needs to be done. Amen. No fanfare, no singing, no boom, 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 boom. We're just going to do it the way God wants to do it. Amen. Over in Matthew 26, here Jesus continue to tell us. Verse 27, he took the cup and he gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. Look at verse 28. He said, for this is my blood. Amen. Acts 20 and 28, the blood was shed. It purchased the church. Amen. Am I right? That blood purchased the church of the New Testament. Amen. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. See, that blood, that fruit of the vine, represents the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us the right to be in the church, to have our sins forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That same blood, Old Testament, had to be what? Side post, top post, death angel, passed over. See, we are passed over. The devil don't have no hold on us. Amen. So we come together to celebrate. Now, you might want to know Colossians 1:20, Hebrews 9, 12, 14, 22, 1 Peter 1, 7. And I'm going to slow it down, Daddy, because I want you to get them down. But I do want to go to Hebrews 9. But I don't have time to go to all of them. Hebrews 9. And I want us to begin reading in verse 12 in relationship to that fruit of the vine. Hebrews chapter 9. But I want you to write all of them down there in relationship to understanding what we're doing. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 12, he said, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, bulls, neither by the blood of goats and calves, y'all there? But by his own blood, right? Jesus' blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained redemption for us. Verse 14, for time's sake. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Do you hear what he's saying here? Amen. That's the reason why you take up the fruit of the vine, because of the power of the blood. Amen. That the blood not only forgives us of our sins, amen, but causes us to build a spiritual house, that we become priests in that house, amen, and offer our sins to be what? Forgiven. Through the eternal spirit, through the word, amen. Amen. That we obtained, see, not dead works, but serve the living God. Amen. Amen. That is why God's a spirit. They want to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Because when you do it wrong, it's dead. Amen. But you do it right, it's living. Amen. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 for time's sake. It says in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Acts 2:38. See, you can't have your sin forgiven without coming in contact with the blood. And guess what? You cannot be a Christian without not being buried in baptism to rise to walk in newness of life, that you come in contact with the blood through the water of the grave of baptism. Amen. Amen. See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Then on 1 Corinthians 5:7, he said, purge out therefore the old leaven. And go there right quick. I don't want to skip that one. 1 Peter 5:7. Because in 1 Peter 5:7, First Corinthians 5:7. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I want you to see what he said. He says here, now what did you get there? Brethren, listen to me. therefore the old leaven. Amen. We can't make you serve God. But the Bible do say, in Matthew 18:15, if you sin, we have responsibility to go to you. And if you hear me, we have gained the brethren. See, if we want to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, all this teaching is no good if we allow sin in the camp. We all have sin, amen. And fallen short of the glory of God, amen. Here we go again, James 4:7. You got to submit to God, resist the devil. You got to draw, to be humble, to be exalted, amen. See, until you submit to God, sin will always reign over you. But we should know you in sin. We should allow you to sin and let you sin and let you sit up in here and think you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, because you're not. So we're not doing you no benefit. Amen. Now, if you don't want to repent, if you don't want to do right, if you don't want to come with the whole church in one place to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, brethren, the Bible has a remedy. It's called purging. Separating light from darkness, amen. Amen. Because, see, I can preach all day, Rodney, about what is acceptable worship. We can go through all the scriptures, but see, when we allow sin in the camp, if you know I'm wrong, but you tolerate me, brother, 2 John 9 says, you partake of my evil deeds. Amen. What good is the bread? What good is the fruit of the vine when it's in vain? Amen. Because he plainly says here, he says here, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. This is something we do every day, don't we? Every day we wake up, amen. We examine 2 Corinthians 13:5 every day. I hope you do, amen. You transform Romans 12:2 every day. You don't wait till Wednesday, because we all have sin, amen. That devil's a roaring lion seeking whom we may devour, amen. You may have to do it 2 or 3 times a day. It depends on how much the world beat on you. But he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice. Then look what he says here. Underline that word us and write the church. Those who are saved. Those who take this body, eat of it in the right way. So who drink of that fruit of the vine in the right way. In preparation, brethren, as we begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then, well, we're going to get the power slide one day. But right now, that's the best I can do. All right, then, they're falling everywhere, but that's all right. I'm going to find them. All right. All right, then, when you do that, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. Amen. Then it's 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We eat the bread in memory of the body. We drink the fruit of the vine in memory of the blood. We commemorate the death of Jesus on the cross. Amen. Because without the shed of blood, there is no remission of sin, whose death made the New Testament possible, Hebrews 9:16, whose blood was shed for the remission of sin. That is, on the first day of the week, when saints come together to break bread, see, we come together for the right reason, that is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, 3 points, 3 words I want you to remember, and the lesson be yours. Number one, proclamation, memorial. Proclamation, amen, and communion, amen. That is 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go there right quick. 23-25. It's a memorial. Same way over in Exodus 12:14. He said, keep it as a memorial for generations to come and generations to come. Well, same way. We brought over grace and truth. God didn't finish reading in Matthew 26, but he did say, he said, I will not drink it anew with you until I drink it again in my Father's what? Kingdom. That's the church, amen. in relationship to, we drink it on the first day of the week as a memorial to commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Frazier read 1 Corinthians 11, didn't he? And 23. Did you hear what he said? Look what he says. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 25. He said, "For I received the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was prayed, he took bread." Matthew 26, 26. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, said, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me.'" Two places, verse number 24 and 25, underline that word remembrance. It's a remembrance. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. We remember how Jesus died on the cross, how the blood purchased the church, how our sins are forgiven. See, we remember all that we said as we were, take this bread and eat of it, as we take this fruit of the vine and eat of it. Number one, it is a memorial. It's a day of reflection. And that's what you need to remember. Amen. When that fruit of the vine and that unleavened bread passed by, we memorialize. We are grateful for what Jesus did. And then when you do that, then you're going to proclaim your faith. Amen. Amen. And what that simply means, 1 Corinthians 11, 26 says, "But after you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Thus the Lord's Supper proclaim our faith." See, as we look forward to him coming and look back in relationship to how he redeemed us and how he saved us. Amen. Amen. See, we look forward because he's coming back. Amen. Revelation 2:10, "Beat our faith unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." He's coming back to give us. Amen. His church with our spot and with our blemish. Amen. That's what we do. We memorize and we proclaim our faith. Amen. But see, when you memorialize and when you proclaim, the next thing that you do, it is a communion. Now, watch this here. I want you to write this word down. I gave it to the brethren yesterday. I texted all y'all yesterday. And I said, look up this word, and then you see why you need to be here on time if you call yourself faithful, if you call yourself a brother. Amen. Amen. Because look at here. That word, K-O-I, N-O-N-I-A. Now, I can't say it, but I can spell it. All right? That word communion is. It's K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. That word communion simply means that you're going to participate in the fellowship, are you going to associate with the benefactors we're going to share together in this communion, in this memorial, as we proclaim on the first day of the week when the whole church come together in one place. So, question, how can you have communion when you don't even come to church? You won't even participate. You won't even associate. See, we share, am I right? There's one body, but there's many members, amen. We share by doing all five items. We commune because we participate. We share. We come together. Amen. Amen. So we can memorialize. So we can proclaim our faith. Yes, I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm proud to be one. Amen. I'm proud to have been able to celebrate that death, burial, and resurrection. Take this bread. Eat of it. See, I'm proud of it. Because Jesus loved me enough to allow to be in the church today. Amen. And I don't have time to associate with my brethren. Something more important than being here today? To commune? How you going to commune? How you going to memorialize? How you going to proclaim, brother? What he's talking about here. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And finally, nobody say amen. The Lord's Supper must be done in reverence. Amen. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, I want to read it. And the word that I want you to write down is A-N-A-X-I-O-S. 11:27. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, is an adverb which describes how we take it. Now, this is what I'm saying. It's not whether we are worth, because none of us are worth it, amen. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. But that word means that because you don't do it the right way, that is through a memorial, through a proclamation, through a communion, or it's not done the way the Bible tells you to do it, it makes it unworthy. Not that you're not worthy, because see, none of us is. So we are filled with rags. Amen. But that word simply means that we do it in reverence, out of respect for God the Father, for allowing His Son to come down here. He thought enough for us, amen, that He gave us this, amen. Did you not know everybody can't do this?
Right.
It's churches in Birmingham it won't be able to do this because their worship is not in spirit and in truth. Some of you may violate that. I don't know. You know 1 John 5:13, these things were written that you may know. You know what you're doing, amen. I might not, but you know what you did this morning or even last night that caused you to be unworthy, that violates spirit and in truth. It must be done with self-examination. Look at verse number 28. It said, but let a man examine himself. We talked about that unleavened bread. That's that day of preparation. They prepare. They got the bread ready. They got everything ready before they had the feast. Well, it's the same way. Don't come up in here not prepared, amen. Some of you don't bring Bibles. Some of you don't bring pencils. Some of you don't bring papers. Hey, this is a work in progress, amen. We're not coming here to hear, oh, he sure preached good. But what good that going to do you? Well, you don't understand what I'm saying. You must examine yourself. You must examine yourself by living for Jesus who died with you. And then guess what? It must be done with Christians. Here we go again. The whole church going to commune. We're going to participate. We're going to share. We're going to fellowship. And get what? Go to 1 John 1:7. See, I'm going to tell you one more thing, then I'm going to hush. I've said that 3 times, but that's all right. I'm sorry, Brother Rodney, we preach long. We, I. 1 John 1. See, when you look at that word there, fellowship, or you look at that word communion there, and when you go to 1 John 1, I want to show you something. Something to make you think. 1 John 1:5. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and crying to you that God is light in him and no darkness at all. Now look at verse 6. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him, and when we commune, we fellowship, right? With Jesus, who's the light, which means we got to be the light, right? See, if Jesus is the light, for our fellowship to be right, we got to be light, amen. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now look at verse 7. He said, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. See, how can we have communion right? To memorialize, to proclaim, when you got all against your brother. Hello? Husband and wife fought before you hit the parking lot. We'll pick it back up at 12:40. Amen? See, that breaks down that communion, amen? Because once you come up in here, everything got to be in the light, amen? It got to be a spiritual drink, amen? And I just thought I'd throw it away. And really, it's no reason for you not to have fellowship one without another. Amen. Because we all have sinned. Amen.
Right.
If I got all against you, I'm going to find you. Amen. And we're going to straighten it out. Amen.
Amen.
But you got to submit. You got to resist. You got to draw. Amen. To be humble, to be exalted, to be able to accept criticism. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Because ain't nobody perfect, right? But that's what that word means, right? See, in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. And then you got to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, and a breaking of bread. So, in summation, for real. Do you memorialize, proclaim, commune by partaking of the bread? It represents the body, the fruit of the vine. It represents the blood. To be building a spiritual house where we all become priests and Christ is our high priest, because we are heirs of God and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 16 and 17. If you be here today and you need to respond to the invitation, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, why not? You come by hearing the word, Romans 10, 17, do you believe what you hear? You must make that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent. You must be baptized. Mark 16, 16. And if you're here tonight and you need to be prayed for, you want a place of membership, come right now as we stand and we sing.